All right. Another episode.
I can't believe it.
It's Studio Chat with Brad and James. Here we are another day. How many days has it been since the last recording?
I'm going to put it in at a cool 600, Brad. I wish it was more.
So I had a friend and former colleague of mine reach out to me yesterday and say, "Hey, I'm listening to your podcast. How have I not even heard of this thing? I'm loving it."
Yeah, and the first thing I start to wonder when I hear something like that is, who is this imaginary friend and what is wrong with them? Because the stuff that we put out on the podcast,
it's garbage
is nonsense.
Yeah,
it's dribble.
Right.
It's as if someone recorded the sounds coming out of butts while turds are excreted into toilet water.
Oblivion. But again, like, this is normal life, so I think that's why this is appealing to people. You know, it's like, we don't really have an agenda. This is just our lives.
Yeah, it's listen just, to this while you do stuff. If you tune out if you tune out for actually the whole thing, you wouldn't have missed anything.
Right. But going back to our early college days, we had our first podcast, Dinner Chat with Brad and James. And it was also about nothing and also ridiculous, but we've just continued the tradition.
It was pretty much the same podcast, except significantly more successful, I would say.
Yeah, that's right.
More listeners. We would get people calling in.
We would have guests on the show. You're right. And here we are now just by ourselves in our studios. We have these amazing new equipment. We both have the same microphones. We were just talking about the Yeti microphones.
Dinner Chat was a podcast born of what?
Born of, I don't know, college life, just being stupid and young.
Yeah. And then this one, Studio Chat, was a podcast born of loneliness, despair, a mild dose of depression, nothing serious.
Yeah, nothing serious, but
just a little bit to get you nice and lonely.
Right.
And uncomfortable.
Yep, that's it.
You know how guilty I feel sometimes when I remember that my baby is with the nanny right now?
Oh, man.
So I should be doing stuff.
You should be making money right now. Like,
I should be doing something, man.
But you're here with me doing a podcast. It's awesome. Thank you.
Nope, not awesome. Pretty embarrassing. I feel like if anyone saw, if my nanny saw what was going on here, she'd be like, "What the fuck is this guy doing?"
Yeah. And I'm going to take a screenshot of you so I can put this in the show notes of that face. You just had your hand on your forehead, scrunched face. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Well, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. You know what? You're constantly asking me to do a podcast. I indulge you about once every 6 months or so.
Right.
And this is where we are.
Yeah. Well, what you should be doing is your own podcast, Rono Typeco.
I was considering doing that, and
what happened?
Into it a little bit, and someone was like, "Oh, you should do it like with a co-host."
Okay.
And immediately that feedback hit me pretty hard because I think they were right.
Yeah.
That it should have a co-host.
Yeah.
You don't want to just have my voice interviewing someone only.
You have a co-host already for Studio Chat.
It should be not you. You know what though? A lot of programs do this. I think you need a female presence to inject a different sort of energy. A lot of times can help a lot. So I think it would be best if it was some female presence. And I was talking actually with my friend Bethany Heck about doing it, and she was like totally down.
Who is she?
She's a designer, awesome designer. She works at Medium.
Okay.
And
does she do type design?
Not type design. She's a graphic designer.
Okay.
Typographer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, I'm down."
Cool. cool.
But immediately we kind of had a difference of opinion because I wanted to do in real life interviews with designers in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And her point of view was like, oh, that's not a really diverse enough group of people. Mm. And I think that's what she was saying. Maybe I'm a little bit wrong there. But she wanted to do people to interview people over Skype. And I was like, I hate the Skype thing, you know, because it's actually really hard to communicate. I think you and I can communicate because we have a rapport of,
we know each other
a decade.
Right.
So that's a lot easier. But when you're just talking with someone for the first time, kind of over Google Hangouts or whatever, it can be a really labored conversation, and it's so much easier to get a feel of the energy and to do your own thing naturally in person.
Dude,
so
I was like, Tim Ferriss is a master at that. He asks just these pointed questions that just make it just so awesome to listen to.
Tim Ferriss is good, but dude, in my book, Howard Stern is one of the greatest interviewers ever. A fantastic interviewer.
What
makes him Myers, a great interviewer. You know, I was listening to Dax Shepard's podcast recently. That guy, also a great interviewer. I think what makes a great interviewer is someone who's just genuinely interested. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I struggle with that.
And you're not. Just selfish, self-centered, non-interested.
When you start talking sometimes, I zone out immediately.
And I can see it in your face, too. So imagine somebody who doesn't know you just gets offended right off the bat.
Yeah. They're like, this guy asked to interview me. Now he's not even paying attention.
And for me, I just, you know, I know you. And I know that, you know, you can just be a jerk sometimes.
Well, I'm doing the best I can. But honestly, I get bored, you know.
I think
it would be more rude if I pretended to you.
Yeah.
If I was lying and I acted interested when I wasn't. I think that's what would actually be offensive. Yeah.
So what's going on in your life lately? Loretta's at her daycare.
Yeah, Loretta's getting teeth.
And what are you working on today?
Today I am working on some top secret projects.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That it sounds super lame, but I'm not at liberty to even.
Oh, you're being serious.
Say what it is, and I'm working on. Obviously, I'm working on the Sands family. That's on Future Fonts. That's been taking up a lot of time.
Why,
dude? It's just getting out of control. It's like too big a project too soon.
Is it because it's the variable type?
Yeah, it's got the weight and width access, and I'm freaking buried alive, man.
I have to say, people are loving it, though.
Dude, I'm getting crushed under the weight of this thing, and I'm just trying to claw my way out of it.
Can you get some help?
Dude, I struggle with that.
I know.
That's actually a really hard thing for me to let go of the control. Yeah,
I know.
Can't
maybe do it. Maybe you should exercise it this time.
I've exercised it with some of the web dev stuff because other people are so much better at that.
Well, that's not your specialty.
Not my thing, no. But, you know, some of that is, you know, taking my hands out of the details.
Yeah.
So I got to say, hey, do this the way that you want to do it, and I will have nitpicky feedback that I won't even bother with because, you know, what's the point, really? You got to keep an eye on the big picture with that stuff. But with fonts, I'm too in it, man. I can't let go right now.
You're just in it. I know the feeling.
It takes so much hand holding to get to the point where you could really trust someone with something.
Have you thought about finding somebody that you can really trust?
Yeah, they're too expensive.
Oh, man.
Because they would basically charge what I charge, you know? And I'm too expensive for myself.
Yeah.
What about you? How do you deal with that?
I mean, that's just the nature of my job. I'm working with people in product engineering. You got to do it.
You're collaborating full time.
And while I'm doing it, I'm like, yes, I'm doing this. I'm sharing, I'm collaborating. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't really like this.
No, but you do though, because you have to.
Oh yeah. I mean, there are clear moments where I've created a piece of work and I thought it's great. And then come to realize it's really not, and That's when other people shed light on that.
And it's not because you've kind of been living in a dream world as far as, you know, whatever constraints of the project are. And they're like, hey, this actually doesn't even fucking work. And you drop the ball big time.
No, it's just sometimes two brains are better than one. You know,
I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
that is true. But I also think that sometimes one person, if there's one clear decision maker,
yeah,
that is making the call at the end of the day, that is the fastest way to get something done.
Yeah.
And then you have to trust that person. You know, that person has to be legitimately really good.
Yeah.
But a lot of times there's just too many freaking cooks in the kitchen.
Darn.
Darn. Darny darn.
Darny darn. Speaking of cooks in the kitchen, it was Thanksgiving. You looks like you had a big
what
family bash.
What a segue, man. My God, that was well done, dude.
I'm getting better at this radio thing.
Oh, man.
But you were down in my neck of the woods and made no effort to even see me. But that's okay. I realize that your family's big. You had a lot of things to do. But it looked like you guys had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Any family drama or anything like that?
I was down there at times, like within a 2-block radius of your house.
Yeah.
And did we hang out?
Yeah, you were just right down the street, literally from me.
Yeah. Did we hang out?
No. And no. And what I often do, and this sounds creepy, but I do it as I fire up Find Friends and see where you are.
No, do you really?
I really do.
Wow. I didn't even know I was still on there.
I know. You're not going to be on there anymore now, huh?
No, I will. I don't. Man, I don't care. Yeah. You can find me.
How was your Thanksgiving, though?
Anyone can find me at any time.
Yeah.
What do I have to hide? This whole thing about privacy, like, oh, my privacy. I don't give a fuck, dude. I wish I did. I only have so much bandwidth in my life to care about things.
I know.
And my location doesn't make the list.
Well, maybe you would care more about it if you actually had, like, your identity compromised or something like that.
Oh, yeah, totally. And really, I'm just a stone's throw away from that, probably.
Right. Exactly.
In fact,
I think I have your Amazon login for some reason saved on my Chrome browser.
Good. Do it. Steal from me.
I've thought about it, and each time I've come to the actual proceed to checkout, I just have closed the browser.
You can't do it.
I can't.
It would be funny to buy something.
You've given so many
though.
Things to me that I can't steal from you. You give anyways.
I do?
Which is great. Yeah.
What do I give?
Well, when we're roommates, like you just gave, you know, a lot like furniture and stuff. And
no, you took it.
Oh.
No, I went back to your apartment after.
Well,
you
give me fonts
out.
Sometimes, which is cool.
Yeah, I'll give you freaking fonts. Sure, man.
Yeah.
Why not?
You gave me a guitar strap once.
Oh, that was a great birthday gift.
Yeah, that's a good one. The leather has really aged nicely too. It's got this really nice leather smell to it.
Dude, I should have kept that for myself.
No.
God, that was a great gift. That was so nice to do that.
I know. Have I given you anything?
No.
I think I have.
What?
I think I've gotten you some books before.
No.
Yeah, I have.
Well, can you remember what they are?
I can't.
Because that would make your argument.
I can't.
No, you've been a good friend for many, many years. And here's what I will really attribute you with, the continued effort to communicate.
Continued, yeah. Relentless.
Relentless. You text me almost every day. You proposition me for a podcast once a week at least.
Yeah, I'm one of those friends you just cannot get rid of whether you like it or not. That's just how it is.
Yeah, you are like cockroaches.
Yeah. I'm like a leech.
Living through the apocalypse.
I'm like a leech, just sucking your living blood.
I sometimes wonder why I am the friend that you've chosen for this. And who else have you chosen?
You know, it's It's interesting. I've thought about that too. It's, I think it goes along with my humor on how my humor is mostly funny to me.
Yeah, it's a pretty limited audience, right. Which is strange that we have a podcast.
Right, and I, for whatever reason, like our friendship, I get that same satisfaction out of it. Like it's these interactions we have, it's funny to me.
Yeah, it's funny to you.
Yeah.
But it's not that I'm funny to you. It's that you become funnier to yourself.
Yeah, through our interactions.
That's why I like it too. Pretty much the same thing. Oh, I think man. Really what it comes down to, it's never like, oh, do you like this person? Do you not like this person? Yeah. The activity that you're doing. But it's do you like the version of yourself that exists when you're in that environment?
Yep.
And
that's right.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
And that's why you like your friends, is because you can truly be yourself around them.
It's true. Yeah.
And situations that are hard, you know, inhibit
right.
who that is.
Yep.
Simple as that, man.
Simple as that. Yeah.
It's all about numero uno.
That's right.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
You like the version of you. Do you like the version of yourself that exists around your parents?
Yeah. Yep. I think I'm kind of the same person as I am with you.
I mean, yes and no.
Yes and no.
They're a little bit more G-rated, sure. I would say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You say more poop jokes to me than like to your mom.
I don't know.
You say the same?
It might be the same.
Oh, I love that.
God, speaking of which, when's the last time you've crapped your pants?
Dude, you would ask me this so often. To paint a picture here, the year is 2006, 2007. Brad and I are sharing a one-bedroom apartment.
We're both
living in the bedroom. We're sleeping in twin beds that are parallel to each other.
Extra long, though.
And every night we go to bed at the same time, right?
Oh, yeah. Eat dinner at the same time. Go to bed at the same time.
Yeah. It's so weird to think about it now. It's so weird.
It's so funny.
We would live our lives like an old married couple. And every night you would ask me, hey, are you sure there aren't any other stories about you crapping your pants that you haven't told me yet? And I'd be like, oh, man, like racking my mind trying to find another story that I crap my pants. Like, I only have like three that I can think of.
Oh, what's great is your brother, Cameron, will just indulge me and make up stuff. And
well, that's what I would try, but he's better at that stuff than I am.
He's good. He's good.
And halfway through, like, you could kind of tell when it was a lie.
Yeah.
And the only good story of me crapping my pants, it wasn't even that good. It's just I was so nervous the first day of high school as a freshman.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. That I sharted. I just straight up sharted. I thought I had a fart, and then I checked my pants, and I'm
freshman,
like, oh my God.
Freshman year, first day of school.
But no, this is still at home.
Oh, at home. Okay.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
I didn't actually shit my pants at school, because it was bad enough. I went to the bathroom, checked my pants. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Changed my underwear. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to my first day as a high school student having freshly shit my pants.
Oh, that's great. These are the moments that just make up who you are, though, you know?
Hey, you know, people talk about a humbling experience, and really it's the opposite. They're like, oh, it was such a humbling experience to win this award or whatever. Shitting your pants, sharting yourself on the first day of high school, that was a humbling experience.
Have you had any of these moments in your professional life, like pitching to a client, working with people, where you just not like crapping your pants per se, but just like, oh man, I just totally blew it here. And you have that same feeling of dread and like cold sweats and,
You know, in my professional life, I have a lot more confidence that I had, than I had as a high school student.
Yeah. Yeah. You've kind of worked your way along.
Also, I think the stakes are pretty low in most of my work. It's never that big of a deal. if it's a really amazing job that I'm excited about, I'll either get it or I won't, you know, it's not going to really make a big difference.
What about in the classes that you teach? Have you had any moments where either you or a student has just totally had this crap the pants moment?
I fucked up recently in a classroom where I gave someone a hard time for being like a few minutes late. Did I tell you about this?
I think so, but let's hear it.
It wasn't like feeling well. The student got upset, basically, that I singled them out in front of all the other students, and took it really hard. And I just meant it as like a really lighthearted joke.
Yeah.
Turned out the clock was fast. The student actually wasn't even late, but they were pissed off at me, and I just read the situation totally wrong.
Right.
And I felt nauseous. I got hot. Man. My heart rate went up. I was sweaty. I was a little bit sick to my stomach for like a day.
Oh my gosh. Well, there's just this shows that, I mean, that wasn't your heart to really cause ill will on this person.
Oh, I would never want to make someone feel bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll rip on students if they're coming in late or if they're slacking off or what. Like when people fall asleep in class, I'll make fun of them sometimes. But now I've kind of stopped doing that because the risk is too high because you don't know where the student is at in that situation. Yeah. You gotta just let people be kind of who they are. And I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. I felt terrible about it, regretted it, and I've thought about it a lot since.
Well, I'm sure that person would forgive you if you were to apologize right now in the air. So we have Ben on the line. He wants to hear your apology, James.
What did I say? I basically said the exact same thing in my apology to that student.
Yeah.
And that was that. And I still feel bad about it, but you know what?
I think that's all that matters. Everybody makes mistakes. If you can be just transparent and, you know, say, hey, I screwed up.
Hey, yeah, screwed up. There you go.
There you go.
It was a mistake.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had plenty of these blunders. Plenty of these things
that is what a humbling experience is.
Yeah.
You know, when you just realize, oh, I screw up all the time.
Oh yeah. That's the key.
That is what I do.
Yep. I just crap my pants all day, every day.
Yeah, pretty much. Metaphorically.
Metaphorically?
Metaphorically, I'm sitting in soiled jeans day in, day out.
No, I'm saying literally.
What if that was your true reaction to ever being nervous or embarrassed? You just had this hair trigger, just shit your pants reflex to anything to the point where you had to wear adult diapers constantly.
And there's just this smell that you can't be rid of, you know?
Yeah. You know what?
I'm thankful.
Yeah, you gotta be.
Yeah.
Because there's people that will shit their pants at the drop of a hat.
Right.
This is a funny story. My brother, Akasha Godsent, got his dick pierced in high school.
And that's his name, too.
Yeah, it's his name. He got his dick pierced in high school. This is not even the funniest part is he said to the piercer dude that was giving him the dick piercing, he goes up to him and he's like, sorry, but when I'm nervous, I get erections. Can you imagine being a 17-year-old kid and having the whatever it takes? I don't know if it's if it's just pure stupidity to get a wiener piercing when you're not even a legal adult, but then being funny enough to make a joke to the guy that was doing it. And the guy thought he was serious for a second. And he realized, sorry, but when I'm nervous, I get erections.
I'm sure the piercer was like, what am I in for?
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, I hear it's a fairly quick procedure, but
okay.
Still think it's pretty funny.
Oh, Man, this episode has really gone off the rails as far as professionalism, I have to say.
Well, what do you want? What do you want from
that? I mean, that's just the way this goes. There's nothing you can want. No expectations you can have.
Yeah, I think it's not a professional podcast.
Yeah,
we're not trying to. I'm not gonna get hired anywhere.
No.
So hey, I'll take.
I'm the not lead now. On telling. After this.
Well, I think you're still doing fine.
I'm okay.
You haven't told any stories about shitting your own pants, though. I might like to hear one.
Well, next episode, we'll see.
One of these days,
our listeners.
Okay, episode number 10. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, all right.
I wish you liked telling them as much as you liked hearing them.
I know. I'm going to start telling them. Hey, so one of the memories that came to my mind going back is, remember like holidays, it's just this time of like working on side projects, and like we'd just sit at the kitchen table, and I think we'd do both different individual things, but just this, I have this nostalgia around when the holidays come around where I'm working on side projects. Do you get that?
A little bit, because I remember like carrying my iMac home, setting it up in the office at
all these cables and
keyboard and like recording music and doing like web design projects when I was like 19 or 20.
Just being creative in general.
Yeah, just doing stuff for the sheer fun of it.
Yeah, that sticks with me.
Yeah, that's, I think you should.
But it's now causing problems because as I'm older now, I'm a parent, and holidays you're supposed to be with the family. Like I'm just kind of trying to find every little moment to get in my studio and be creative and get alone.
Get me away. You know what?
Michelle's like texting me, where are you? It's family time. It's Thanksgiving. We're about to cut the turkey. I'm like, one last great little pixel, babe.
Oh, man, that's sad. Just listen to yourself.
And I was thinking about this. I'm like, I wonder if there's just some sort of addictive trait in me that just kind of gravitates towards these things.
I think there is. I think it's...
Have you thought about this at all?
It's less of an addiction, because an addiction, I think, is a physical thing. And I think this is a mental need of yours, and it's the dangerous thing.
Emotional need.
Of relying on your work and your creative output as a major pillar of one's own identity.
I love that you were closing your eyes through this statement. Yes, that was awesome.
That's how I think about it. I think about it with myself, you know?
Yeah.
What do you really want to be? What do you want your identity to be?
To be honest, I also think of it as an escape at times.
Oh, you're like, you know what? The kids are kind of driving me fucking batty right now. I'm going to go take a breather.
Just in life in general, I mean, I think there's things we escape to. And even though we love some of these things and they can still be healthy.
Yeah, well, it's better than playing video games.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Or maybe it's the same.
Maybe it's the same.
Actually, yeah, I kind of think it might.
Did you have any of these moments where you were with your family and you just like wanted to get...
That's a good question. This break, I fully like disengaged.
Oh, that's awesome.
As much as I do, and I still was picking up my computer here and there.
Dude, because you're posting a lot now on Instagram for Oh No.
I kind of took a breather from that for a long time, and I think I was penalized for it.
Oh, really?
I'm getting like very minimal engagement there. But that's my only marketing arm, essentially, is Instagram.
Well, so I was surprised to see you have like 23,000 followers or something like that. Maybe it's more.
That's just because like the type and lettering community is very active on Instagram. I think if you're putting in if you've been on there for a couple of years, you get people pretty easily.
Dude, but if you're not on Instagram, I mean, I feel like that's man, that is a serious avenue.
So I'm just trying to be quick with it. I just want to get in, get out, just like 5 minutes a day instead of fucking 2 hours a day or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Because it gets to be just way too – it's hard though. You know, I set limits on my phone below right past some stuff.
Yep. Well, you're a small business.
But I did – I did disengage, and I really enjoyed the family time.
But that's great.
Here's the thing, man. I have one kid, and when I'm with my family in that setting, there's like 20 of my nieces and nephews that want to take the baby. Right. So it's easy. You know?
So you were loving it.
You have two kids.
I got two kids.
Different story, muchacho.
Well, you'll get there one day.
I know. I'm like scared.
No, you'll be fine. You know, it's just survival, and then you realize you're surviving, and you're like, great, this is fine.
Yeah, it's like survival until you just like have to go run out to your office.
Yeah,
you are lucky that you have a separate room, a separate structure for your office. I still want that.
It is so key for me.
I would love to do that. I would love to redo my garage.
What about your basement? You have a garage. You could do that.
Got the garage. I do want to do it. It's on the list, but we kind of want to put a bathroom in there, a little kitchenette, Airbnb it during the weekends.
In the meantime, at least get a little makeshift office going in there.
I wonder if I could, man.
You could.
It's an interesting idea because right now it is the wood shop currently, but I'm not doing any woodworking projects.
You should make it just somewhat. You should make it somewhat a livable space, and then you can learn from what would make it great for somebody to be in there.
I've thought about that.
Yeah,
I've thought about it. It's so run down. It's just about to get blown over.
Yeah, yeah. Your place is a shack in Oakland.
Well, not our house. Our house is fine, but the garage is pretty busted and disgusting.
No, I'm saying your house.
Hey.
No, your place is cool.
I think it would be great, though.
So are you winding down for the holidays, your business? Are you?
Dude, I'm still grinding.
You said you just put out a... What was it?
Did not say that.
Nope.
Working on an update.
Working on an update. Yeah. So, because last we talked, you're like, oh, I think I want to just kind of work on some fun stuff. But it doesn't seem the case.
I was pretty much dead set on that for a long time. And I don't know. That still might be the case. We'll see what happens. It's too soon to tell. But if I don't get any other jobs for the rest of the year, it's good, man.
It's good.
It's just a good time. It's starting to rain here.
Dude, I love that.
Very cozy font weather.
I love that. Do you think you would thrive in the Pacific Northwest where it rains a lot? Well,
I lived in Holland where it rains all the time.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And I did not thrive. I got severely depressed. I was hating it. I didn't have a good network of friends there, though. I had my school friends, but I didn't have anything outside of that, and that was a dangerous way to play it for me. So there were a good 8 months of me living in quote-unquote the darkness, as I refer to it in my head.
So the vitamin D deficiency was real?
I don't think it was a vitamin deficiency. I think it was more of a social thing. But in the Netherlands, I was thinking about it this morning, you are expected to ride your bike to school or work, whatever you do, rain or shine.
Yeah.
And we would show up soaking wet all the time. You kind of get used to it, or you think you're used to it, and then spring comes, and the entire mood of the city turns on a dime.
No way.
People are smiling all of a sudden.
Wow.
There's like festivals every weekend. You can really feel this incredible change just happen in the matter of a few weeks, and it's a magical time. Man. And then you're like, oh, wow. You know, it kind of makes like the winter and the rainy season like almost worth it in a way.
Yeah. How long were you there for again?
Like 11 months, almost a year.
Okay. Yeah.
So I gotta tell you now, Brad, we're coming up.
All right.
We're almost to the time when
it's 2 p.m. I say we just end it here.
This, I will say, is the only podcast with a fixed end. Now, the way that we're doing them, we record it in the same GarageBand session each time. Yep. And the music comes at the same time every time.
And what's the track?
The track is Animal Spirits by Wolfpack.
Yep. Your favorite.
The best band.
And you've done some type lettering work for them.
Dude, I love those projects I get to do with Wolf. It's such a fun part of my job. I feel so lucky to be able to
That's great.
To collaborate with that band in that way. It's like, I that honestly,
your buddies with those guys.
It makes me believe in God.
That is a huge statement.
That's the truth, buddy. All right. That is it for Studio Chat with Brad and James. Thanks for listening.